I wonder if you've ever read a copy of the Big Issue magazine. There's one part of it that always makes me feel really uncomfortable. And if I forget to skip over it and I catch sight of it, a wave of sadness washes over me. There are photos. Photos of different people, different ages, different ethnicities, in different parts of the country. Some of the photos are recent, some are years old, some are decades old. It's the missing persons page. It always makes me think about the families who live with this loss. The not knowing, the lack of reconciliation. What must it be like to live with that absence? Time is a healer. I think not. There's an image of grief that resonates with many people. It imagines that grief is like fills the whole of somebody's life.
Yep.
It encompasses their whole totality. People used to think that over time the grief would get smaller, that this dark patch would shrink and it would get smaller. But what happens instead is that people consider that your life rebuilds around the loss. This doesn't shrink. The grief doesn't go away. But your life expands around it. And sometimes on anniversaries, the grief becomes all-consuming again. But then as time passes, you remember the other parts of your life. We're in this really strange time as a church between Ascension and Pentecost. It's kind of like Holy Saturday, where we remember Jesus' absence. He's not here anymore, not in his body. He really has gone. And sometimes we like to skip over the Ascension, as I feel tempted to skip over those pages in the Big Issue. Because contemplating the loss of somebody is really, really hard. When somebody has gone, the intangible stuff becomes more important. Memories and the emotions they bring up fall like a veil over our day-to-day life. A jumper, a chair, a favourite place. All these ordinary things become extraordinary as they remind us of the person that we miss. And for those of us who believe, prayer becomes more important too, because experiencing a loss reminds us that there is more to life than this world. In grief, it can be as though the line between heaven and earth is very thin indeed. Prayer helps us bridge the gap between absence and presence. After all, we pray because there is an absence. We are not yet fully at one with God. We are not yet fully reconciled, and we are waiting for Christ to come again to judge the living and the dead and bring in his everlasting kingdom of justice and mercy and peace. But in this absence, we are not left as orphans. The Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, comes to teach us to pray and to fill us with God's strength. In the gospel reading, Jesus prepares his disciples for his absence. He doesn't tell them everything that's going to happen, but he prays for them, knowing it's the most powerful thing that he can do. He prays that they will know whose they are. They are not the world's. They are not accountable to the grind, not held to the standards and values of any political party, not justified by their bank balance or their position or status. They belong to God. And knowing whose they are, he prays they'll be protected, that they'll have joy, that they will be sanctified in the truth. He goes and he leaves them, but he never stops praying for them, as he never stops praying for us. It's tempting to pass over the ascension and rush into Pentecost, but then we miss the wonderful truth that Christ is still praying for us, praying like this, praying these words over us as he sits at the Father's right hand, praying that we are protected, that we will stay living in the truth, and that we will know joy. I mean, after all, Jesus is praying for the time where we are one with him, the time where there is no absence at all, but we are united by the unmediated presence of God. He longs for us to encounter and remain in that love. And his heart is full of sorrow for those who are far off, for those who are God's missing people. After all, the reason he came was to bring the lost home. Amen.